Why y'all laughing? Anybody know a character by the name of Boudreaux? Y'all never heard of him? Okay, Boudreaux and another guy applies for a job, right? So the company said, well, we got one opening. What I'll do is I let both of y'all take the test, and whoever passes the test gets the job, right? He said, now it's a long test. It's going to last about an hour and a half because they got a lot of questions. So it gives them the test. 20 minutes later, they both come out. Gosh, just 20 minutes? Takes people 2 hours. So he looked at it. He says, wow, yo, man, you only miss one question each. Both of y'all missed question number 12. He says, so, Mr. Johnson, I'm going to give you the job. Boudreaux says, wait a minute. You can at least flip a coin. Why are you giving the job to Mr. Johnson? He said, because he answered number 12, I don't know. You said, me neither. That's it? There you go. All right. To the business of the gospel. Come Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday of next week. Oh, before I get into that announcement, we have a... How do I call it, Ms. Ken? Prospect for pastor, candidate for pastor? That's the best word? Candidate for pastor. Okay. Somebody will vet him right now. He's coming in on the 8th. That's the next month, Mr. Ken. 8th of... he's going to speak on the 8th. And that'll be a potluck on the 7th, right? Time to be determined, right? Because we don't know what time he's coming in. So y'all just be ready for that. That's what it is. So please, when the announcement is made about the potluck, come out, get the norm. You can have a formal conversation with him, find out about his past, how many times he's been arrested, that kind of stuff, okay? But no, seriously, he's coming in on the 8th, potluck on the 7th. Of December, right, Ms. Ken? Correct. What you think, Ms. Bates? January?
No, we haven't got to the 7th.
Okay, I got you. But anyway, as I was about to say, every day after Tuesday, no matter what the results are, remember this. God will still be on the throne. Christ is still going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible is going to still have all the answers. Christ is still going to be the only way. He still answers prayers. There's still room at the cross. So you see where our hope is? I'm trying to make us understand where the hope is, right? And most of all, Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, will never be our salvation. We've gone through this for how many years? Everybody gets in is going to be the Savior, right? And you know what's going to happen? They're going to find ways to spend new money. You're just going to get a little piece of what they don't want because it's all about them and it's all about power. So I say to you and I say to myself, God will always be the winner. And that's where our hope is. So let's keep that in mind. Don't jump off the bridge if it don't go your way. Because they're not the solution anyway. right? As a matter of fact, both of them has had a chance for 4 years, right? So let's just keep in mind where our help comes from. And we'll continue to pray for whoever it is that gets in, because that's our job. That's what we do, right? We pray for our leaders, whether you like them or not. Let's pray for them. Anyway, Genesis chapter 3. Billy, I think you aptly said it, that, well, look at the world. Well, I celebrate. The worse the world get, the more I celebrate, because I know that time is short. And you see in the message today, time is short. Think about it, guys. From the time that Adam fell in the garden, from that point when man started to lean on his own devices, sin reigned. And it continues to reign. That's why you got a broad road, and that's why you got a narrow road. Let's not look at that broad road and condemn it. Let's try to snatch somebody over, all right? Because that's exactly what Christ did. You know, and I tell people, you know, people say, oh, I'm a liberal. Well, I'm a conservative. Well, Christ is Savior. And at one time, he seemed like he was the most liberal person in the world. And then he spoke very conservatively. Y'all notice that? I mean, when he forgave the prostitute, he was a liberal. Who are you? And then when he gave the law, he was very conservative, right? So Christ said, "What I am what I am, what I need to be to save you," and that's what we need to be. Let's just tell people, take the side of God. When you take the side of God, you're going through the sun, and if you go through the sun, you're going to be all right. Genesis chapter 3. We know what Genesis 3:15, after the fall of Adam, after the fall of Adam, 15, it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. In other words, I can't read the whole thing for time's sake. He put enmity between everybody that participated in this, right? All of y'all enmity, hostility. In other words, a wall was put between man and God. Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. Said, that's it. Y'all want to lean on your own understanding? Well, this is what's going to happen. Now, y'all think about it. Adam and Eve committed what? A couple of bank robberies? Adultery? What did they commit? They committed one sin, right? Of course, it led to lying and blame game and all that afterwards. But it wasn't murder. It was none of that, right? But that's the way God feel about disobedience. God said, look, this is the best way. We said, no, we can find a better way. And God said, no, you can't. It's an impossibility. Now, what in Genesis? Go to Genesis chapter 6. Now, God didn't put enmity. God said, look, hostility between God and man. The day, Adam, you disobeyed me. The very day you disobey me. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. This sound familiar? God saw that wickedness of man. Now, how many years is this after Adam? Well, it depends on how you believe Genesis. If you believe that it was thousands of years, the gap theory, whatever you believe, what we know for a fact, that man has gotten totally, totally worse than that little one act that Adam committed, right? What was the problem? He said the imaginations and thoughts of their heart was only evil. How often? So man's getting a little bit worse, right? So worse, if there's a phrase. So worse until God said, it. Let's start over. Sent a flood. Grieved the heart of God. God said, look what I've created. And I tried to be fair. I tried to create you and not make you a robot and told you to depend on me. Come to me for whatever you need, whatever problems you got. I'm here. I'm here for you. But you walked away. I call it the evolution of man. So I tell people, yes, I believe in evolution. Ever since man evolved further and further away from God, look at the world. Look at the world. You know, back here, you ever heard anybody buggy jacking somebody? Horse jacking? No, it wasn't no such thing. But today, they'll carjack and drag some old lady behind the car until her arm comes off. And, I mean, 15, 16-year-olds. 15, 16-year-olds. And the one that all the politicians forgot, I know you're worried about this one and that one, but, you know, drunk drivers, DUI, how many people are killed every day by them? You know, there's a dead fight that says, if I go out on the town for a night of fun and I get pregnant and I don't want the baby, I should be able to just go and have the baby crushed, right? I saw none of this back in the garden. But right here, he says that mine were evil continually. And you want me to tell you something? It's worse today. If you don't think it is, watch the 6 o'clock news. You got one side excusing, as Roman says, and one side accusing. I mean, think about it. How do you balance that? Well, I'm going to excuse you, but I'm going to accuse you of the same thing. Have you listened to politicians? I mean, I listened to them the last couple of days. This one is accusing that one of this, and then this one does it. Then I'm going to excuse you because you're in my little clan. Think about it. How crazy is that? And that's exactly what Paul says in Romans. Paul said, you want to know the truth? All of y'all going awry. And you know what irks me about both sides? They profess in Christ. And I listen and say, y'all got to be kidding me. Neither one of y'all know Christ from a can or Krylon paint. Think about it. It's horrible. Continually. Evil continually. In other words, when I wake up, it's evil. When I go to bed, it's evil. I talk to the guys in the prison all the time. I said, I want y'all to stop and think about this. Had you not thought that what you were doing were all right, long as you didn't get caught, then I said, would you stop doing it? No, because you figure I'm not going to get caught. But as Paul used these phrases like in the sight of God. Paul, what do you mean in the sight of God? Paul said, I can't go anywhere where I'm not in the sight of God because he lives in me. And that's what I tell these guys. Now that Christ is in you, who are you going to try and fool? An impossibility. So, you know, the name of the show is I Almost Got Away With It. With Christ, you don't get away with nothing because he knows everything. He knows your thoughts. He said that thoughts were evil continually. Does he know my thoughts? Yes, he knows our thoughts. So let's magnify him by meditating on him and his word. And then maybe we can help somebody on that broad road. Because trust me, they need help. And they're not going to get it by whoever resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, I guarantee you. Because this is about my group. This is about my people. This is about, why you think they talk about blue states versus red states? What about the American state? But anyway, back to what God is saying here. Look in verse 14. And no, go to Romans chapter 5. Let's leave Genesis, go to Romans chapter 5. And when God gets to the end of that, when he talks about destroying everybody, he says, but Noah found what? Grace. Noah found grace. A favor with God. So that's why it only had the 8-pack saved. Think about it. However long it took Adam to build that ark, you think somebody would have came to a saving knowledge, a saving understanding, you know, that, man, you know, this man must be on to something. Either he's on to something or he's on something. And he was. He was on the promised word of God. God said, Lord, here's what I want you to do. Just like he tells me and you, here's what I want y'all to do. You want to get in the ark. Because I'm going to give you as much grace as you need to get into the ark. But sometimes, you know, it's like Adam in the garden. We figure that ain't good enough. We need a little bit extra. We need a little bit. We need a shot of tongues, a shot of healing, a shot of whatever it is that's going to make you feel warm and fuzzy with God, because whatever you're doing, you can measure it. You know, that's the way we are. We can measure it. I can't measure something for nothing, but I can measure something for something, right? You give me a 10, if I give you a 5, I feel better. Instead of just taking a 10. I tell y'all the story about the hidden camera. And they got a booth set up, I think it was in New York, and the sign says, $5 bills. It says, take one. And the camera's watching, they come and people look. They look around. The sign said, take one. So every so often, one would take one. And every so often, one would put $2 and take a 5. Well, that's the way religion works. God wants to give you salvation if you give him a tenth, or if you give him keeping his commandments, or if you give him whatever it is that you prescribe that you got to give him to receive what he want to give you. It's not salvation. Anything that's not of faith is sin. So faith alone in Christ alone is salvation, and there's no substitutes. No amending, no prerequisites, no. It's simply believe that you are what God said you are. You're a descendant of Adam from the fall of Adam. You died. Romans chapter 5, look how Paul explains it here. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Now, we've come from the garden to the flood. And if you want to come from the flood and take the last half of Genesis and come all the way to where God called out a chosen nation, Israel, in the Exodus, where he said, I'm going to take y'all out of bondage and bring you to the promised land. But y'all got to represent me. We know how that went. What happened? Sin still abounded. And that's how Paul explains it in Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Paul says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. from Adam to Moses. So that takes care of the whole book of Genesis, right? Death reigned. No question about it. Now look at verse 20. We're all the way to Moses. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered so that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So what happened when the law came in? It magnified sin, right? You might not have known what the penalty of telling a lie was, right? A stealing. But now the law has magnified that. That's what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 7. Paul said, man, the law was good until it flowed through me, then it slew me. Because I want to do what Christ wants me to do, but there's something in my members that fights against the Christ that lives in me. And that's still the same. That hadn't changed. So you see, now we're still condemned by sin. The wages of sin, still death. It's what Paul is saying. Paul said, look, the soul that sinned, it shall die. Because that's the way God said it would be all the way back in Genesis. Adam, the day that you eat, you break one law, you die. And a couple of weeks ago, as Mike went through the book of Hebrews, this is magnified. It's simply magnified. God said, here's what I'm going to have to do for you, reprobate man. Here's what I have to do for you, man, that the enmity between you and me was put there back in the garden. Here's what I'm going to have to do for you. I'm going to write you a New Testament where you don't get to participate in it. You don't have no input. You can't have no input. You're dead. You're dead. Here's what I will do. I will. Now look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Man, we look at the world and you say, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. True. That's what God said he would do. Because sin is still going to abound for these people. They don't care about righteousness. They don't care about what God says. What they care about is what makes me happy, what I think make me complete, but at the same time, it's death row. They just don't know. You think of mine, talk to some of them. I talk to the inmates all the time. Most of these guys didn't have a clue. That they were so bad. One guy told me I didn't hit my wife. I kind of choked her. And my question is, if the God of the Bible was alive, living in you, pushing you, motivating you, strengthening you from the inside, would you have done that? Now he says no. But you're still doing the time. I tell them all the time, when you leave here, don't say, by ward, by inmate, by Christ. I said, because, you know, jailhouse conversions usually is no conversion. But a real conversion is seeing your condition, understanding his provision, whereas he takes you off that broad road and puts you firmly on that narrow road by what he's done. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. You know, one of the better phrases in the Bible is, but now, but God. You ever, you know, what he says before some of those statements is, Y'all stinks. Y'all horrible. But me. That's what God says. But me. Here's what I want to do. Ephesians chapter 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes was afar off, made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. There goes the enmity. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that I put on y'all in the garden. I've abolished that, even the law of commandments. By the time you get to Moses, I've taken care of all of that. Containing ordinances, to making themselves twain one new man, soul making peace. No more hostility. That's reconciliation. No more hostility. That's why when he died, the curtains ran from top to bottom. As Mike thoroughly went through it from the book of Hebrews. He's not like the Old Testament priest. He's not bringing in bulls and goats and heifers and pigeons and turtle doves. And he brought in his son and said, that's it. Enmity is gone. Because of what Adam did, God put that hostility, allowed that hostility to be in man. But because of Christ, I'm going to reverse the curse. He said, look, you made one new man. Enmity is gone. It's slain. It's just nailed to the cross. Out of the way. For one purpose. For you to become my holy temple. Man, I'm going to live inside of you. I didn't do that with Adam. I'm going to give you a much better deal than Adam. I'm going to give you a deal so real that you can't mess it up. Unless you join some religious organization that says in order to get this, you got to do that. In order to get this, you got to do that. He said, no, trust in me and allow me to live my life in and through you, which is your side of sanctification. Oh, by the way, the moment you believe, I sanctified you. But let me show you how to live it out. So Miss Betty can see it. So I can see it. So you can see it. He said Abraham bringing his son for a sacrifice was just him living out what he believed. Man, if I don't believe you're the resurrector, I never would kill my son. But based on your promises, if I kill him, you got to resurrect him. And he tells us, if you believe that Adam killed you, I will resurrect you. I mean, just think about it. In Adam, you had weakness. In strength, in Christ, you got strength. He talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15, the two bodies, right? This old corrupt body got to put on what? The glorified body. Got to put on a strong body. Got to put on a living body because this thing is dead. That's the only part of you that's going to the grave. And that's what he talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. Flesh and blood will never inherit the kingdom. You can sweep it up. You can clean it up. You can put Clorox on it. You can put Pine Sol on it. You can put Fabuloso on it. And it's just like putting lipstick on a pig. As Greg used to say, rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. You can't help it. It's dead. It's gone. That's, you know, what you gonna do? What can a dead person do except look for life? And that life only comes through the gospel. That's why Paul said, therein, that gospel is the power of God for righteousness unto everyone that believe. First Peter 3:18, you have to turn there, but read it in your spare time. The just for the unjust, so he may bring us to God. You want to get to God, you got to go through the just one. Who cleans you up enough to bring you to God. So you want to get to God? Get in Christ. You want to not drown? Get in the ark of Christ. It's not complicated. He says you can't mess this up. You just can't mess it up. It's not gonna. It's an impossibility. What God has done perfectly, we cannot mess up. What's he saying? Philippians chapter 2, I think it is. Our conversation is what? In heaven, right? Where we wait for our Savior, right? Redemption, right? Who shall change these what kind of bodies? Vile bodies. That happened the moment that Adam sinned. His body became from good, very good, to vile. And Adam passed it down to all men. And in your spare time, go to the Greek and look up the word vile. You know what you're going to find in that definition? Depression. Death. You're going to find all that in vile. So you wonder why a person can be depressed? Depending on Kamala or Donald. You will become depressed, I promise you. At some point, you're going to come depressed. But when you look to heaven, I learned how to pray for both of them and never be depressed. Because I'm beyond depression. If I fall into depression, I'm thinking wrong. And I tell people that. Change your thinking because you got some stinking thinking going on. Either you're letting a circumstance make you think that you're supposed to not be there. As Billy said this morning, talking about mountains, for the Christian, he may not move the mountain, but he can carry over it, give you the strength to get over it. Oh, by the way, that definition for the word vile, I showed this to some Catholic friends. That's what Mary says she is in Luke. She's vile, so she's not immaculate. So you know what that makes her? A sinner. But man, I'm not going to fall to the victim. I'm not going to be a victim of this world when I know what God has done for me. God has brought me to himself through Christ. Romans chapter 8, y'all read that when you get time. Who can bring anything to the charge of God's elect? Are you God's elect? We all God's elect? Everybody would agree? I would. So when there's a charge laid against you, what do you do with it? I bring it to Mike. Mike is my attorney. No, I bring it to my lawyer in heaven who's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he says, I acquitted him thousands of years ago. So what you're accusing him of, you're also accusing me of doing a half job. Just tell him it is written. Here's what it is written says. God has redeemed me. God has sealed me. God has broken down the middle wall. God has taken the enmity out of the way. Completely reconciled me to himself. And he said, man, I want you to be reconciled. That's Paul's whole prayer. I pray you, I beg you, be reconciled to God. Because if you become reconciled to God, now I know and understand what he's done for me, and I can receive it. But the problem is, some people just don't think that they're just not that bad. I'm not that bad. I said, well, Adam wasn't that bad either. He only ate a plum. Or whatever the fruit was. You see, common sense would say that wasn't that bad, right? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with somebody eating a piece of fruit? Oh, by the way, ladies, y'all know it was Eve's fault, right? Right? Yeah, Adam was about to go down to Krispy Kreme, and she said, that's not healthy for you. Eat the fruit. See how y'all get us in trouble? No, but in seriousness, I mean, God says, I have done it all for you. You all just look at how bad mankind was from Adam all the way to right now. And you'll see that redemption can only be found in me. I want to take away your dark past and give you a bright future. But that can only happen when you put 100% of your faith in me. And you know, people say, oh, y'all make it so easy. That is the hardest thing in the world to do. The easiest thing is to do some kind of work. The hardest thing for you to do is let go and let God. It's like God said, turn loose. I know you're 100 feet off the ground. I got you. No, if I work and hold on to this. And I said, let go. Let go. He simply says, I got you. I'll never leave nor forsake you. That is, once you get me and once I got you, I will never let you go. And nobody can pluck you out of my hands. And I'll ask you like he asked Martha. Martha, do you believe this? Do y'all believe this? Do y'all believe the moment you believe in Christ, he takes you from what Adam did, which passes you from death unto life. John 5:24. You have passed from death unto life. Adam caused death. The second Adam caused life. Takes away your sin debt. He pays it in full. That's why there's no more death. He have abolished death. Why? Because it was sin that caused death. And he tells the world, I will never impute sin to your account. So world, you'll never die. But world, the problem is, you're already dead. But you can, if you ain't dead, you can't die. But if you're already dead, you need to come alive. And to come alive is to accept or receive the life offered in Christ through the gospel. How simple is the gospel? Christ died for our sins and was buried. God raised him from the dead the third day. And that's life. God raised him from the dead by one spirit. God raised us from the dead by one spirit. By the way, Paul said, whereby you are saved if you believe it. And he also says, the gospel I'm giving you, I also received it. Paul says, it's how I got heaven. Wasn't some magic wand. I had been working for years working my way to heaven. And then I met Christ. God introduced me to his son. So I said, Lord, who art thou? Lord, who art thou? I mean, I'm going to do your will. I'm going to kill a few Christians, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And the Lord said, no, Paul, you're going about it the wrong way. That's why I tell a Griff, I was born free. And he says it with such passion as if, man, if I'd known this years ago, that I should be born free, I have worked my behind off trying to be righteous with God. Can you imagine? Just working your little hands to the bone to make yourself right with God, and God says, look, I can give it to you just like that. Believe. Believe that that's what I came into the world to do. Believe that when I came into the world, all was dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If Christ died for all, then guess what? All was dead. John 3:18. Didn't come to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. The world's already dead. There's no life. It's a lifeless world. So when you watch the news and look at the lifeless world performing their duties, that's what they're supposed to do. And let's do this. Psh, 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 psh. Come here. God loves you. He died for you. He paid your sin debt. He want to give you his righteousness. If it works, fine. If not, it's on God. As Charles Stanley say, obey God, leave the consequences to him. I love that saying. Obey God, leave the consequences to him. In conclusion, God formed Adam perfect. Good. Very good. Then sin deformed us perfect. Praise be to God. He sent his only son in the world to transform us again back to what he wanted us to be in the beginning. But knowing we would say no because of our will. He said, but if you take your will now and come to me, I'm going to make you perfect than Adam ever was. Adam was never justified, because if he had been, the soul that sinned shall die, but the man that's in Christ shall live and never die. Adam never would have died when he ate the tree if he was justified. God has reconciled us, justified us, sanctified us, propitiated our sins, transforming us. And the final act, he's going to glorify us. We can hang on to that. That is our hope. That's why Peter said, willing and able and ready to give a reason for this hope that's within you, and that's Christ and his finished work. Lord, again, we thank you for the abundant grace that you shows us, Lord, on a day-by-day basis. Lord, we thank you for doing what you never had to do. You did it because you wanted to. You did it because your love for us. You did it, Lord, because you wanted to bring us back to where you intended us to be all along. And you simply want to work all that out in and through us, Lord, that we can show the world that we are your righteousness because of that gift of righteousness, not because we're trying to earn it. Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you said you've given us this ministry, you've given us this righteous gift in a human body, and that's the problem. That's the tug of war, Lord. But give us the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of how to strengthen ourselves from within. Strengthen with might in the inner man, that is in the spirit man. The flesh will never have strength. It's willing, but it's unable. We saw that at the garden. But our faith and our trust is in you and what you've done in and through us. And Lord, again, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you promised to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.